call the August 5th, 2014 Sussex County Council meeting to order. Welcome, everybody. First things, approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. One suggestion for an amendment today. We can strike under executive session land acquisition and possible action on executive session items.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of July 22nd. Any corrections or concerns about the minutes?
Look good.
Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have one letter. Dear Mr. Lawson, on behalf of all of us at DCUSA, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to present to the Council. DCUSA is committed to continuing to provide our services to help the community through the help of supporters like you. Thank you for your help. Sincerely, Keith Adams, Chief Operating Officer of DCUSA. That's all.
Any correspondence from Council? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business today on the agenda is a presentation by the First State Community Action Agency. We're joined today by Ms. Bernice Whaley, the Executive Director of First State Community Action. Bernice, would you like to come forward? And I believe we have a check presentation as well after your kind words.
Morning, Bernice.
A check. Wow. I'm not sure you can deposit to the ATM machine. You can give her a shot. This is our fourth year of our final $25,000, $100,000 total.
Thank you.
For your project over there.
Mike, we're coming down.
Come on. Bernice is one of our most favorite people.
Yeah, right.
I'm coming. Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
And I would like to just say thank you to the Council. Thank you for all that you do for First State Community Action Agency and the people that we serve here in Sussex County.
Keep saying it.
I know. Oh, thank you.
My God.
Gina, I'm going to assume at some point in time she'll get a smaller check.
Yes.
It's physical size I'm talking about.
They got a real check.
Sure. Bernice, I apologize. I think I referred to you as Bernice Whaley, the executive director of DEDO.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
She got a promotion.
Sitting behind Brad Whaley, so I've got all my names jumbled up. It happens sometimes. Bernice Edwards, excuse me.
Mr. Lawson, you're up.
Thank you. County Administrator's report for August 5th, 2014. Item number one, the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County Conference Planning Subcommittee will meet on Tuesday, August 12th at 10 a.m. at the Sussex County Administrative Offices West Complex on the second floor, located at 22215 North DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. During the meeting, the committee will continue discussion of its upcoming conference. Item number two, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Americana Bayside Seagrass Bend received substantial completion effective July 25th, 2014, and Americana Bayside Phase 16 received substantial completion effective August 1, 2014. And item number three, please be advised the 2014 Sussex County tax bills are now available for review and payment online at sussexcountyde.gov. Property owners will receive their traditional hard copies in the mail next week. This year, there were 171,000 bills generated, with 42,700 sent electronically to mortgage lenders. The bills collected will estimate $117 million in tax revenue. 88% of this tax revenue goes to our schools. The bills also collect tax ditches for the Conservation District, annual assessment, sewer charges, and other special assessments. All payments are due September 30th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. DART, a division of DLDOT, has allocated $796,862 again for funding for transportation expense for various senior centers in Sussex County. This amount has remained the same for several years. The county's responsibility is to approve a recommended funding amount for fiscal year 2015 as per state law. This is an allocation of state grant funds to various senior centers for transportation purposes. The recommended funding for each agency is the same as in previous years. And I have a motion.
Yeah, was one question. I just, sure. Does this come, who determines the money they get per?
The state does.
State does.
The state determines the $796,000, then it comes back to us to say how we allocate it.
I was just a little curious why we give different percentages of what they request. They don't all get the same percentage.
They do not. We've kept it the same for all these years until, as long as it's over what they're, we're giving them under what everybody's requesting. Mm-hmm. They're not giving us more funding to determine that allocation.
Okay.
We keep it
just
the same.
Curious. You have a motion, please?
Sure. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves the allocation of state funds to various senior agencies within the Sussex County area as presented.
Entertain a motion, Council.
So move.
Motion,
second.
Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will, yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Godwin, Wetlands Advisory Committee update.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. President, members of Council. I want to try to update you on the progress of our Wetlands Advisory Committee. In your package this past week, I provided you with two new components. I sent forward to you comments, actually there were questions from one of our members. Mr. Andy Manis had raised some questions that were somewhat confusing, but they were mostly aimed at how the incentives will be divided and appropriated. I wanted you to see that. I also forwarded to you some comments that we had also received from Marty Ross, who I thought were helpful and also offered some insight into how we might better align the funding for some of these open space programs. I sent that with you. But one thing I did not, there's two documents I was not able to give you at that time that I have now. One is a copy of recommendations from DENREC. Many of these recommendations are kind of redundant because we've voted on some of these already and decided not to do most of them, but I wanted you to give them to you anyway so you'll see that DENREC is trying to make sure they, I guess, make the recommendations again. So I'm going to give you that, and along with that, I've paperclipped in a recommendation which is 5 or 6 pages long from the Inland Bays, which is their general, their usual recommendation about clean waters and so forth with some maps. So I wanted to share this information with you because we meet again next Wednesday, not tomorrow, but next Wednesday we meet, and I'm supposed to have a copy of the draft report that we're going to send to the General Assembly and to the Governor at the end of the year. I should be getting that any day, and I'd like to give that to you so you can see that that will be some valid information we can really discuss objectively about whether or not we want to support the recommendation. So I don't have that yet, but I've been on the phone the last few days trying to make sure I get it soon. But I'm going to share this with you now.
Thank you.
This is both the DENREC recommendations of the latest. As I said, some of those are redundant. And then also recommendations from the Inland Bays. The Inland Bays recommendation is, again, pretty much the standard recommendation that they offer whenever they're asked to chime in their opinion on the environment. So it's really not a new report. I'd like you to review this material, if you would, and we'll have a more in-depth discussion next meeting, possibly, if I have the draft report to come from this committee. But I wanted you to have the benefit of the information that I have. Marty Ross and Jim McCulley are both here. If you'd like to hear some comments from them.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Marty?
Bring them all down.
As you know, Marty serves on the committee as well, and Marty's also a very good researcher. He digs down deep on the issues.
Thank you, Hal. For the record, my name is Marty Ross, and on the committee, I represent the Delaware I wanted to discuss with you and ask for your support for the Delaware Farm Bureau recommendation to modify the way the real estate transfer tax, the state's portion, is allocated and provided to the foundation. You may or may not be aware, but the real estate transfer tax was originally passed and adopted in 1990. And I've got some copies here from the Division of Revenue of the revenues created. The purpose for the real estate transfer tax primarily was to have dedicated funding for farmland preservation and open space. And in the current law, it says that $10 million per year shall be provided to the foundation, the Ag Land Preservation, and $10 million to open space by law. Unfortunately, through the years, General Assemblies, and this is not a partisan statement at all because there have been Democratic and Republican General Assemblies, have used this fund to balance the budget, and so therefore the law has been circumvented. What the Farm Bureau would like to do is to make it more difficult for the General Assembly. Certainly it's never impossible to use this money for other uses not intended. The spreadsheet I gave you shows all the monies collected under the real estate transfer tax, the state's portion, from its inception. $1.442 billion, with a B, billion dollars has been collected. Of that, 9% has been delegated to open space and 5% to farmland preservation, while 88% has gone to the general fund. Obviously, the intent of the law is not being met. So what the Farm Bureau's recommendation is to allow the Department of Agriculture to develop rules and procedures under the Public Administrative Procedures Act to directly collect that money instead of it going to the Division of Revenue, still staying within the parameters of the law. The second major component is that the the forest land preservation does not have a dedicated funding source, so it doesn't increase the funding at all from the real estate transfer tax. It doesn't increase the tax, but it would allocate $5 million to the Forest Land Preservation Foundation. It's important to the wetlands to understand that, according to DNREC, about 85% of the forest land preserved are wetlands. So when you preserve the forest land, you're preserving the wetlands. So this is a way to fulfill that public purpose in that discussion. The second component to the Farm Bureau recommendation is to have joint meetings between the Open Space Council, Farm and Forest Land Preservation, and pertinent federal agencies. Today, the Open Space Council has a lot of flexibility that, in our opinion, it's not using, but we really don't want to beat up on the people at Open Space. We'd rather, you know, gently lead them to a process which allows them to use the flexibility provided under the Open Space Law. The Open Space Law does not require public access. It requires public purpose. And in other states like Maryland, they use their open space money to buy properties fee simple. Then they sell the easements, the development rights, or whatever, put restrictions on the property, then sell that property back into the private sector to farmers or foresters. And so that property is protected for a public purpose, but a lot of the money that's been spent in fee simple comes back into the program. And so they're able to leverage that money and spread it out over years, over more acres, and accomplish a larger public purpose. We would like to encourage open space with these joint meetings to take a look at the flexibility provided under the law without actually requiring them to make any changes. Let them do that on their own over time. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell, Mike. I try to keep it fairly concise. If you have any questions,
I'd be willing. Any questions, Council? Mr. Phillips.
You said the original intent of the real estate transfer tax was to fund open space and farmland preservation, and I have no doubt that's true. I guess the question may be to our finance director, are there other dedicated funds that money is to go to, for instance, the paramedics or anything like that?
for our portion, so that he's talking about the state portion.
State portion.
Our portion could be economic development, any kind of public safety, that would be the fire or ambulance or paramedics, things like that.
The paramedics used to be, I think, 70% state, 30% county.
That's
60-40.
When it started.
Yeah.
Thank you. Did the state make any statements that they wanted to pay their 60% with the real estate transfer tax?
Not that I'm aware of.
So it may happen, yeah. But it's all pulled out of the general fund, as Mr. Ross said.
Right. Correct.
Really? Wow. I should never question you.
Any more questions, Council?
So, I don't know. What do we do? Try to get the state to make the change?
Well, right now we're just asking that the Council give Mr. Godwin direction to support the recommendation under the Wetlands Advisory Committee. Obviously, eventually it has to go to the General Assembly and they'll make the ultimate decision.
How much wetland you said the woods controls?
Denrick's saying about 85% on average of the woodland is automatically 404 wetlands. And so when you preserve an acre of woodland, you're 85% of it on average, you've preserved wetlands.
I sure question that.
Yeah.
It depends on, whose definition you use, perhaps.
I
but I can pretty much, Sam, tell you that on my own farm that number is maybe a little bit low. Especially if you use USDA's definition over the Corps' definition. Not trying to make too big of a complaint, but, basically the federal government has stolen about half of my property because it's tree farm.
Well, Ross, as well as I guess I shouldn't talk too much here because I'll run rampant if I don't. But the thing, back 60, 70 years ago, and even further back, farmers would till everything with one-horse plows. They come to a little wet spot, they make a turn, go up the field somewhere else, and they have all kinds of turns. And for example, my farm myself has done that. It was 7 acres. I ended up about 23 acres of woodland on this one little tract of land. Over the years, I pushed that all out and made 30 acres. It would have been considered wetland if it's according to the analysis here, which today is not wetland, it's just farmland. But it was easy to go around, and there's plenty of farmland. Not many people, not really a good way of tilling it because of the tractor, because of mules and one horse cultivators and that kind of stuff. Today, we don't even cultivate today. We just spray it. And it's a lot quicker to just make one quick swipe and back. And I could show you in Redden, and I was out here to a piece of land last night. Acres and acres of woodland, but I knew it wasn't all wetland. I know that, and you know that. So, anyway, I don't know. That's just my thought about wetland. I don't think it's that. I think they get mixed up between wetland and bottomland, really.
Well, technically, the wetlands are navigable waterways of the U.S., and I get confused too, Mr. Wilson, when I'm standing on dry land and think I'm actually standing in navigable waters of the U.S., it can be very confusing. Any other questions, Mr.
More questions to Council?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
Mr. Godwin, I would think from what we've heard from Mr. Ross, I don't hear anybody on council who's opposed to you supporting that.
Thank you. And I've already gotten direction from you before on the questions from Denrick, because as you read them, they're going to sound very familiar, because they're just a different way of wording questions that Denrick has already raised earlier, which I voted under your direction on.
Sure.
We also have another member of the committee here, Mr. Jim McCulley. Jim, do you have anything you want to add?
Sure. Thank you. I, Jim McCulley, I represent the Home Builders Association of Delaware on the Wetlands Advisory Committee. And I'll say that we wholeheartedly support the real estate transfer taxes going to their intended purpose. And we'll do everything we can to support Marty's recommendation. And hope you guys will, too. As Hal just said, the recommendations that you just got that Denrick made were things that we've already voted on. Hopefully you will tell him again to vote those down again. Denrick trying to take more control over the wetlands. One thing that's new is a fee in lieu program. Denrick is recommending a fee in lieu program. I can tell you that fee in lieu programs never work. There's a handful of examples maybe where they've worked, but when you collect money prior to doing the actual work, that money always gets spent on something else. And so wetland mitigation banking is way preferred over fee in lieu. You get someone to pay a fee to disturb wetlands and say that money's going to be used to create wetlands somewhere down the road, somewhere in the future. It never happens. Property values go up. They spend that money on other stuff. It just never, you just never get the bang for the buck that you thought you were going to get. Denrick also, a new recommendation is they want to develop a state delineator training program and a delineation registry. The delineation registry is right here at the county. Every plan that you guys review has the wetlands on it. It's on a recorded plan, so there's no reason to spend more money on a registry. And I think there's probably four or five people that you see delineations from. We're all pretty experienced. I don't think we need any additional training, so there's no reason to spend extra money on that. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions, Council?
Appreciate your service on
thank
that
you.
Committee.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Hal, I just for the record, I guess we would certainly ask you to continue voting the same way you have voted.
I will. I'll follow your directions until I come to an issue where I don't have direction on. And that's why I want you to see the full draft report, because there will probably be some things included in that that we may haven't discussed. So I'll want your direction and take your lead on that.
That'd be fine, sir.
Just yes, clear sir. This up, then, Mike. We're going to ask to do what? The recommendation is what? Says, could somebody just
the committee has already taken a vote.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
And the committee has. How you voted the first time, vote the second time.
Right.
We've heard no different story that convinces James that way.
Okay. So where are we? Okay, on the process.
We've already recommended two incentive procedures, which we've discussed at length, and you supported that, and I voted for them, and they passed unanimously.
Gotcha.
Okay, so both those are in place. What we have now is a new recommendation from Denrick that I just gave you a copy of.
Right here, right. I'm looking at it.
Yes, the one-pager. And as you read through that, it'll sound familiar to you because many of the issues that are on this page, we've already voted no on. Okay? Mm-hmm. And now Jim just talked about the in-lieu program, so that's new, payment in lieu. And the development of a wetland delineator program, he mentioned that as well because the delineations are already on our records. So those are kind of moot points. I did want you to see, which is attached to that, the recommendation from the inland base, and so that's right in our backyard.
Okay.
I think it's at least nice to know what they think. Okay? So I wanted to just report in these things to you.
But today we're looking at, there's a recommendation to use this transfer tax.
Right.
To
well, no, not to use it any different, but to transfer it directly from us directly to the foundation that gives it out for farmland preservation and ag preservation, rather than entrusting it to the state through the Division of Revenue. It never makes it over to the open space programs. Like Marty was saying, it winds up being hijacked to use to balance the state's budget. That's happened over and over and over. So his recommendation is that that money is transferred directly from the three counties right into the Open Space Foundation. So they have their money, we know they have their money. Then they'll be able to disperse that out in preserving wetlands to buy
Okay,
properties.
Is the request to take the entire amount of the transfer tax?
No, just $10 million. Marty?
Is it, no, that, again, money. Okay, I mean, just there's still a cap of the $10 million, which has been out there for years,
correct,
which they've not been meeting.
Right.
We're just trying to tell them to...
His proposal would have the counties transfer their portion of that $10 million directly into the open space fund.
Now, who determines what the portion is per county?
I'm not sure.
Is it based on the numbers, I guess, the
money
collected?
That, I believe that is calculated in the equation somehow, or you may know.
That would be determined if the law was passed during the public administrative procedures process, the public hearing process, by the Department of Agriculture. So that would be a rulemaking process after the law is passed to make sure that they develop a process that's done. It would be an open and transparent process so the county will have input into how that's done and so it's easy for you guys to handle.
Ms. Wilson.
Lawyer up here. They say a lot of this money is being transferred back into the general fund, correct? Are they taking this money from the general fund and then turn around buying forest land?
No, I mean, the money that's in the Division of Revenue was used to basically balance the budget. It could be used for anything that they need it for. They just put it all in one pool, and that's why many years there's zero funding for both of those programs, because they need it to balance the general fund. This year, of the money, the $10 million that was supposed to come into ag land preservation, I think 1.5 or 2 is all that came in, so 85% of it never got there, even though the law says it shall be done this way. But the legislature has the ability through the different budgetary processes to basically change that law every year so they can circumvent it. What we're trying to do is obviously you can't prevent the legislature from changing the law, right, but if you change the process, you can make it a lot more difficult for them to actually get hold of that money.
You're saying you'd like to, or the Farm Bureau or somebody, like to see $10 million spent every year for
that's what
space.
The law, you know, that's why it passed. It would have never, the real estate transfer tax would not have passed if it hadn't been for open space and farmland preservation as a dedicated fund.
Oh, yeah, no, that makes
sense. So we just want to make sure that we try to make it more difficult for them to use that money for something unintended, use it for the purpose in which it was intended to be used.
Mm-hmm. I would assume they, I'm going to guess that they probably get around this somehow by epilogue language.
It'd be more difficult because by using the administrative procedures and a rulemaking process, they basically would have to turn over two laws at one time. They would have to turn over not only the ability of the foundation to create the rulemaking process, but they would also have to turn over the rule. So it becomes much more complicated and difficult to do, and I don't think that would be as easy. Today, in the epilogue language, of basically they use the bond bill epilogue language, which is just strike shall to may, and then they reallocate it, and it's very easy to do. So I'm not real sure even about, you know, how well received it will be in the General Assembly. There's support for this, but everybody knows how difficult it is to pay the bills. So it's not a slam dunk that this will pass the General Assembly, but it'd be nice to get it there so we can have a discussion and get the public involved in that transfer of funds for unintended purposes.
Who all makes up this membership of this foundation that would spend this money?
You know, by law, the foundation and open space operate differently. The Open Space Council is appointed via a process in law, but they only make recommendations to the DENREC secretary. Ultimately, the DENREC secretary decides which projects get funded and which ones don't. He has total control. Under the foundation, it's different. There's staff that brings projects to the foundation, and the foundation ultimately decides which ones get approved and which ones don't. So the foundation has very much control over the money being spent, and the Open Space Council only makes recommendations.
How does a person get on this foundation?
There's a process within the law that says how they get appointed. I can't remember exactly, but it would...
Appointed by somebody, I mean.
Yeah, okay. And one might represent the House, one the Senate. I'm not sure, you know, how they're generally put up, Mike, but sure. There's a process within the law that says, you know, how people get on the board.
Okay.
But they're all appointed.
One last thing. And of that $10 million, going back into farmland and open space preservation, we're just hoping that some of the land they preserve, we're assuming that there'll be wetlands on these farms and this open space that we are protecting. We have no idea.
No, actually, there's a pretty good track record. About 30% of the Agricultural Preservation Foundation money preserves forest land. It's a historical number. So 85% of that 30 would be, according to DENREC, wetlands. And, of course, forestry, it's all forested land that gets preserved in 85% of that number.
Is there any maybe concern that, you know, not enough money would be purchasing open space that has wetlands? Is there a way, because this is supposed to benefit wetlands?
Correct.
If we put some wording in there that we'd like to see the $10 million cap being spent, and we'd like to, you know, put a priority on targeting parcels with wetlands.
That's
actually
part of it.
Right now, basically, it's the Farm Bureau just would like to make sure, I guess farmers would like to make sure money's coming into that program so more farmers can benefit and get more money from it.
It connects.
But if we're trying to protect wetlands, I'd like to see some kind of wording that would say that.
Yeah, not necessarily all farmers, but I understand what you're saying.
Right.
But we already have passed a conservation tax credit with targeting language towards isolated wetlands, or Category 1 wetlands. In addition, obviously 85% of the lands are already wetlands being protected, so just by having the funding there, you increase the acres protected by just simply giving the funding that should be provided. And finally, by having the joint meetings between open space and ag land preservation and forest preservation, it's hoped that, you know, cooperatively they can leverage those dollars to target what Phil McGinnis calls these rhetorical high-value lands.
Well, I mean, my personal opinion, I'd like to see Hal then, if he's up there recommending that this $10 million cap be met, you know, through the transfer tax monies, that it's your hope that this money will target wetlands. Somehow the request has to be associated with wetlands, not just a transferring of you know, tax dollars to the farmers, which a lot of people aren't real crazy about that program. So
the recommendations that we've
this is targeting the money. We think it'll do it. So
the recommendations that the committee has agreed on so far are part of this open space preservation. This puts the money in the pot to do it with. So what Marty's talking about actually funds the recommendations we've already approved.
Okay.
So what is the goal? I mean, how many acres do you, what percentage?
Well, that's the reason
get,
that.
Get in this.
That's a great question, Sam, and that's the reason that Farm Bureau is forwarding these recommendations, because the two recommendations on the table right now, one is to fund forest land at $200,000 per year, and the other is to change the conservation tax credit, which has a cap of $1 million. So the maximum wetland protection incentive at the moment, according to the committee's recommendation, is $1,200,000 a year, which is not likely to be all used for that purpose. The what we call in business terms, the nut, is over 200,000 acres of private property. If you take 1,200,000 acres a year, even time a discounted 30% of the value, it would take over 600 years to preserve those lands. So obviously we have to come up with more money or a better way to do that. So by fully funding the programs we have, no new programs, by fully funding the programs we have, we can cut that down using our current percentages, changing no criteria, Mr. Cole, changing nothing, okay? Using the programs we have, we can cut that down from over 600 years to down to 65 for that 200,000 acres. If we enhance those programs by a combination of open space, we can bring that number down even further. And we're all used to 30 or whatever year mortgages, so it becomes something that's more manageable rather than simply making rules which takes property rights away from people and it's very egregious to the landowner.
Question of council?
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Godwin.
Very welcome.
Keep us up to speed on what's going on.
I will indeed.
You got to review the downtown development district.
Yes, sir. I want to take a few minutes and try to explain the details of what Senate Bill 191 has made available to the towns and each of the three counties. You probably remember me explaining this bill to you when it was finding its way through the legislature. It passed and was signed by the governor in early June. And I want to just highlight for you how this program works, so if you have interest in it, you'll know how to use it. First of all, the Downtown Development Districts Act of 2014 was enacted by the General Assembly in order to, number one, spur private capital investment in commercial business districts and other neighborhoods. That's private investment. Okay. Also, to stimulate job growth and improve the commercial vitality of such districts and neighborhoods. Number three, to help build a stable community of long-term residents by improving housing opportunities and assist local governments in strengthening neighborhoods while harnessing the attraction that vibrant downtowns hold for talented people, innovative small businesses, and residents of all walks of life. That's the mission. To put this in simple terms, okay. This bill has put aside $5 million to be used for incentives. I'm going to try to make this into a story so it's easy to understand for us. In the county, it would be in non-incorporated boundaries, so it would be outside of all the towns. Just to give you an example, let's suppose that a toy manufacturer decided that there was a real business to be nurtured in this county for sand buckets and sand shovels. All the kids on the beach use them. The parents are buying them. It's big business in Sussex County. They want to build a toy manufacturer, and we're thinking of, well, where is there a conglomeration of kind of like a town center that's not really an incorporated town, that's close to the beach, that might be prime for development? Harbison. Okay, so the Acme Toy Company comes to us and says, we want to build a toy plant in Harbison, and we need a little help. We need $1 million to buy some land and put up the building, get the factory running, and we can't raise all the money. That's what this would be used for.
So Harbison would qualify as a downtown?
It could, because it has a concentration of people and some businesses, but it's not an incorporated town. So for us, that could be a model.
It's an intersection with a stoplight, isn't it?
Mr. Lawson, did you want to comment on that?
I'm sorry, Mr. Lawson.
Anyway, that's an example. The toy manufacturer could get 20% of their infrastructure costs. They can't spend that money on advertising or any of that or on the materials that go into the toys, but they could spend the money on the building, the equipment that they need, those kinds of things to get their factory up and running. So let's suppose that they needed $1 million and they only had $800,000, they could get the other $200,000 through this grant program. Now, we would then know about this toy manufacturer. We would usher this through the committee, which would then the cabinet committee would actually recommend to the governor that this district be designated and the funds be transferred to the private company. It wouldn't come to us.
Right. It's a competitive.
Correct. It's leverage. It's leverage money. But we, the county, would also need to be involved in this by offering some help, maybe not necessarily in the form of a check, but maybe we expedited their rezoning, or maybe we helped them by making sure they got a variance for something. We helped them through our governmental processes to get this district set up to accommodate this new business. And then along with that comes more people to work there, more homes, kind of the neighborhood grows. That's what this is supposed to do. It's supposed to energize that kind of growth through these districts. The county, each county will get one district, and in each county, one town will get a district, and they'll be chosen by the viability of their plan. So we would have to help put the plan together and submit it through a lengthy application process to get it through the committee.
Let me ask you this. Don't we have to probably create a development district? I mean, we just can't sit back and wait till something happens and the guy, maybe he doesn't choose Harbison and he chooses someplace else. Does the definition allow us just to go out and say, okay, now this is one of these downtown development districts? Or should we be proactive and try to identify them now?
That'll be your decision.
Well, I'm just wondering how the group that determines where the money goes, they may look at Harbison and say, that doesn't meet the definition.
You need a private investor. You need the Acme Toy Company to come in and say, we want to build there. So then we can set up the district and we can put in all the components through our application,
Okay. Send
it to the committee for approval to get the governor to sign it.
Does anybody have like a clear written definition of a downtown development center, what it is?
Well,
Harbison may not meet that criteria?
The details are being developed now by our state planning office. We just yesterday, I got the final draft of the application, which is pretty lengthy. It's like 22 pages or so.
Because the next thing you know, Bacon Switch will be the next development district, or you know, and I'm just wondering if any of these little crossroads that have historical, you know, they're historical communities, you know, will they qualify?
Historical component will
Gumbara,
be.
Gumbara, right.
Right. I did ask one question of Ms. Holland a couple of days ago when I talked on the phone. I said, could we give our energies to a town? In other words, let's say Georgetown decided they wanted to do it, and we thought that's a great idea, let us help them. Then it's the town, and they said no. There has to be Georgetown, if they're going to be the town, they have to do it on their own. They can't do it with our assets. And if we're going to have one, it'll be outside all the town boundaries, so they wouldn't let us commingle. Because I thought that might give us some layering.
I mean, wouldn't it make more sense that maybe it's on the outskirts of Georgetown, in the unincorporated area? Right. Then we do have a downtown district known as Georgetown, and we're abutting it. But I'm just wondering if.
Well, they haven't made all the rules up yet, right?
That's what I'm saying. We go through a big applications, and then they finally say, "No, you don't meet the definition."
You waste
a lot of time.
The one part of this that causes me the most concern is that the funds. Mm-hmm. To do this each year must be approved by the General Assembly each year.
There's no real sure thing.
So we know it's going to happen this year, but will it happen next year again? I can't guarantee it. The General Assembly can't guarantee
it. Right. How? We've got 30 acres out on the highway. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it's in the town or not, but assume it's outside of the town of Georgetown. Mm-hmm. It's an ideal location for a big company to come in.
Yes.
Could that qualify?
Yes, it could.
Okay. So it doesn't have to necessarily be in an area that has a name. It doesn't have to be
a
Harbison.
No. Okay. No, it does not. As a matter of fact, I just used that as an example to show there's a cluster there. There's already kind of a mini town there that's not incorporated.
But that's not necessary.
No. It could be anywhere in the county as long as it's not in the corporate boundaries of another town.
Old crossroad.
Loss of the bill.
First of all, we must remember it's all taxpayers' money.
Correct.
Right? Every dime we're spending here.
Correct.
Number two, we don't want to be like the state did, and our governor, be like they did up in Newark. So this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. They came in with this automobile, $100,000 or more. And today, where's that automobile? We're out millions and millions and millions of dollars, taxpayers' money, that didn't even fly, couldn't even get off the ground, and we've wasted money. So that's what I'm very leery of. When I start talking about spending taxpayers' money for a new corporation or a new business, that's what comes to my mind. Make daggone sure when we spend taxpayers' money, it's good spending and not wasted. And to my opinion, that's wasted. And today, the state is a prime example. They are running in the red, clearing the hole because of dumb management. And I don't want to come across this council don't want to come across as dumb management. That's the way I feel about it.
Councilman Wilson, that's exactly why this program has to go through this council in order for it to actually take life.
Well, we already have economic programs that we help in the unincorporated area. I'm just wondering, it seems like duplication, but that's why I question it, that they would look and see an application that was in, say, Harbison or Bacon Switch or Gumber and say, well, you know, it doesn't meet the downtown development. We're trying to help these downtowns in the municipalities. And that's when I think of downtown, I think of a something that qualifies as a town. And
we have
other programs that are helping with economic development. So
another hurdle that we have immediately is that in order to be in the 2015 cycle, we have to have the application in with all supporting documents by November 1 of this year, which really isn't a lot of time when you think about the magnitude of what this project would be for us to help start up a new business. Or it could be spent on improvements or renovation of an existing business. It's not just new. It could be
expansion.
The toy company
whatever.
Must expand.
Yeah. Okay.
But if we have to look at other businesses, is someone else in this business that's in the private sector, and are we adding competition through the taxpayers' money?
That's a very good point.
And that happens a lot,
so.
Too.
That's a very good point.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think so.
Yes, sir.
We have an industrial park. I don't think it's in the town of Georgetown. And you just said it could be used to help an existing company.
Mm-hmm.
We could potentially improve that industrial park in some capacity. We wouldn't have to worry as much about another Fisker coming in.
I think you would need to have a private investor willing to partner with us to actually be the purveyor of the business.
Well,
and this would just be
say Pax is looking to build a new
yes,
hangar.
Yes, exactly.
And we could go to them and say, we could help you to the tune of 20% of that investment.
I think this would help be able to help that, yes, sir.
Seems like with this tight timeline facing us, we should maybe go in a direction that's a little more secure like that. We don't need to hit a grand slam right off the bat.
Let's
take a single. Okay.
Okay. Just wanted you to be aware how this works.
Right, yeah,
thank you, sir. Any more questions of how?
No.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Joe Wright. Sussex Shores Suburban Community Improvements, project number 14-13.